Well, there is an old expression, time flies. And it seems the older I get, the faster time goes. I don't know if I can relate to that, but it just seems to just speed up. And we're just 2 short days away from Christmas. And every time I'm about to share, it reminds me of a game we used to play as kids. How many remember playing hide and seek? How many played hide and seek? Just about all of you, not any of you, you know? And the way we played it, you probably did as well. One person would close their eyes and count to 40 or 50 or whatever it may be, and everybody else would go and hide. And when the person got done to the end of the counting, what would they say? Ready or not, here I come. Exactly, you know. And Christmas is kind of like that. Ready or not, it's here in 2 days, whether you like it or not. And it's probably a good thing, because I've often felt that if we didn't have that specific date, there's so much to do to get ready for it, we'd put it off. Now, we'll just do it next week, because we've got too much left to do. So it's regardless of it. And Christmas brings a lot of different stories with it and biblical accounts, and we look at that often. Some of you may have heard this, but somebody sent this to me once in an email. How many do you know what would have happened if there had been 3 wise women instead of 3 wise men? First, they would have asked directions and arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and there would be peace on earth. Several years ago, there was a story, it doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas, but bear with me for a minute. There was a story that was made into a play and then into a movie, Little Orphan Annie. And in the story, of course, you well know it, Annie's an orphan, and all around her in this orphanage, it's bleak. Everybody's got a dim outlook. The headmistress, or whatever you'd call her, is very mean, and everybody's just, it's just a bleak, dour place to be, and Annie is not like the other kids around her. She is optimistic, she is cheerful, she's excited, and she sings a song throughout the movie, and several times, I guess, if I remember right, and it's all about tomorrow, and how many would remember the song? I'm going to help you with it here.
Sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow. Come what may, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're always a day away.
What I really like about that is that now that you've heard it, you, like me, will have that in your head for several days now, because I've so it kind of gives me a little bit of sick pleasure, I know, but tomorrow morning, we can officially sing that song about Christmas morning. Tomorrow, Christmas, Christmas Eve, and then the next day will be Christmas morning. And when Christmas morning comes, the tomorrow of tomorrow, if you will, many will rise on that day, you know, exchange gifts, celebrate the day, and have no thought of Christ. It's just Christmas to them. For them, it's really Xmas. They leave Christ out of Christmas, the Christ Mass, if you think of Christmas, Christ Mass. They leave out the Messiah, and they'll celebrate the day. They'll exchange gifts. They'll celebrate Santa Claus, maybe, and the elves, but not Christ. There's no meaning of Christ to them, and they may or may not find joy in their gifts, depending on what they get or if they get what they want, but they're missing out on the true joy, the lasting joy of Christ, and they're missing out, really, on the true promise of Christmas. And it's just exactly that. It's lasting joy, eternal joy, true joy. Annie, when she was orphaned and she had little hope, her outlook was bleak, then out of nowhere, her tomorrow arrived. She sang about tomorrow, and someday it was going to get better, and that the next day it'll come, and you know the story. A wealthy man comes and brings her home and eventually adopts her and rescues her. He gives her whatever she needs. Whatever she needs, he provides for it, and then some, enough even to bless others as he brings her into her family. And for Annie, her tomorrow arrived at today, and her tomorrow is no longer a day away. And we consider the Christmas, the Christ Mass, and we celebrate that. We think backwards, perhaps, for a time in the ancient days where people lived under the Old Covenant. And they lived in an Old Covenant, and they were promised the Messiah tomorrow. The Messiah would come, and that's where they lived, and maybe tomorrow he'd come, maybe he'll be here. And on Christmas, the celebration of our Savior's birth, the tomorrow is realized. The promises of the Old Testament and tomorrow is realized. The Messiah has arrived. He's here. It's happened. Tomorrow is today. reality, when you think of tomorrow, whether it be tomorrow, Christmas Eve, or the following day, Christmas, many people will not see tomorrow. Some physically. It's an old expression I've used often, you know, none of us are promised tomorrow, and today's not over. We just never really know. Some won't see tomorrow physically, and some won't see tomorrow spiritually. They will never realize the truth of Christmas, the promise of tomorrow fulfilled, the joy of salvation in Christ. For many, Christmas is almost a magical time of year. The lights and the glitter and all that happens. And really, for children, a lot of times, I mean, you wake up and underneath the tree are a bunch of presents that weren't there the night before, and it can seem almost magical. The promise fulfilled in Christ is not magical, it's supernatural. And so often we exchange what could be just seemingly magical for the truth of the supernatural that is so much more lasting, so much more powerful, and so much more real. In Christ, we don't have to wait for our tomorrow. It's here for us today. As I said, there are many. There is no Christ in Christmas. It's a day to celebrate. It's a holiday. They get together with family and friends. But there's no thought of Christ. And for the believer, for those of us that follow Christ and know Christ, our struggle is probably not in believing in Christ for the day, but it's in keeping Christ in Christmas, keeping him there and knowing that he's there. And for us, the beauty of Scripture helps us keep our focus, helps us remember what it's all about. We're going to look again, once again this morning at Luke chapter 2, and often say, you know, we think of it as a Christmas story, but it's Scripture. We have made it, if you will, the Christmas story. And the first seven verses, we see what we so often call a nativity scene. We see all these nativity scenes and now the arguments about whether they're allowed to put them up or not put them up, public places. But out of over 1,100 verses in Luke, these first seven kind of capture our nativity scene. Luke 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The first seven verses declare and explain what we call our nativity scene. We get this whole picture of what happens, and we look at that and see this scene of the birth of Christ. And so the first seven verses explain the nativity, and the following verses explain the reason for the nativity. Verse 8 and following. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace, will, good towards men." Peace, goodwill towards men. And this whole issue here, this heavenly host, the wording there really, it's some call it a multitude. The original wording really is an army of angels. And so here, an army of angels, strangely enough or oddly enough, the power of God and the army of angels come and they declare peace. Not war. And so they have a special message, and the angel proclaimed he was there with good news that will bring great joy. That may be the first thing we lose in our culture's Christmas celebration. This joy the angel proclaimed is different from the world's joy, from the world's Merry Christmas, which has increasingly become Happy Holidays. Don't you love the Happy Holidays? Rather than the Merry Christmas. And the world's joy is different. The world's joy is fickle. It fades quickly. The excitement of a gift wears off. It fades. It goes away. And The excitement of the season is over in a day or so, and then now what? The true gift of God found in Christ is really a joy eternal, and that may be the message that we need to understand more than anything. The joy found in Christ doesn't fade. It doesn't fade with circumstances. It doesn't fade with our struggles. It doesn't fade. And rather, the joy found in Christ increases with the depth of our relationship. So as we grow in Christ, as we know more of Christ, as we become closer to Christ, our joy in Him deepens. And notice, as you will in the Scripture, I think I've remarked on this many times in the past, that when the angel appeared, the first thing the angel said is, "Do not be afraid, fear not." I find that rather interesting, you know, and in God's wisdom, if you look at the story, an angel appears and sets the shepherds at peace and proclaims it, and then there's this heavenly multitude host of an army of angels. I mean, if the army would have showed up first, the shepherds probably wouldn't have heard anything. Had just been frightened, you know, but they put them at peace, and I've often said, when God, if you see this not only here but elsewhere in the Scripture, when God is about to do something supernaturally, He often says, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." He puts you at peace because maybe we're just not used to the supernatural. And it seems to me that God wants us to be ready for a supernatural encounter, to expect it, to prepare for it, and not to be afraid of God being deep in our life. Of course, the shepherds, the time they lived, the belief was if you had an encounter with the supernatural, you would die. And so anytime something came along, seemingly supernatural, and I guess an angel appearing out in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, that's pretty supernatural. And so the fear was you'd be dead. The angel comes along and proclaims, "Do not be afraid," and then he tells the shepherds why, and us as well. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold,'" do not be afraid, I'm going to tell you why not be afraid, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He told them not to be afraid, and then he tells them the good news. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Becomes very personal. "There is born to you." King James says, "Unto you is born a Savior." Not, "I have good news that there's a Savior born. Catch up if you can." But very personal. "To you is born a Savior." He's really saying, and I know I've mentioned this in years past, but he's saying, he's changing the phrase. We say, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. And well, he should be. And we have it on shirts or mugs. And I get all that. And we should remind people that the season is about Christ. But I've always said, if you ask Jesus, he'd say, "You are the reason for the season. Unto you is born a Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, the very God, Jesus Christ, born unto you and for you." As the shepherds made this proclamation, and we're reminded today as well that man was about to meet God, not as his maker. You know, you're going to meet your maker. And it wasn't about meeting as maker or judge, but as a baby. A baby is a sign of gentleness. A baby is a sign of new life. A baby is a sign of new beginnings, of everything that's pure and holy and wonderful and not intimidating. Jesus came not as a judge, but as a Savior. Emmanuel, God with us, not against us. There's a big difference. And it's important to realize that he could have come as a judge. God came to judge Adam and Eve's sin. He came to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. He came to judge the land of Shinar, where they confused the languages because of what the people were doing. He could have come to judge the world. Rather, the angel had a different proclamation. "Do not be afraid, do not be fearful, for unto you is born not a judge, but a Savior." That's worth joy. And so many people think about actually standing before God and they ignore God, or they want to hear about God and they want to get involved because they realize that there's a reckoning that has to be made. And because of this Christmas celebration, the birth of Christ that we celebrate, and then the eventual death and resurrection, we don't have to be afraid to stand before God as a judge. We stand before him as our Savior. That should bring great joy. Jesus came not with vengeance, but with mercy. Jesus came not to punish sin, but to remove it. Jesus came not to spy on sin, but to reveal it and forgive it. We often say, we talk about celebrating Christmas with the giving of gifts. God has sent you unto you gifts of love, mercy, and grace. And every day for us can be Christmas, if you will, because we can unwrap that gift of love, knowing that God's mercy is there when we have failed him. His grace is there. And he brings us, draws him closer into the love and joy that he wants for us. Angel brought good tidings, meaning good news. He brought the gospel of great joy. I have good news. Fear not, be afraid, because for you this day is finally born a Savior. Great joy. I would guess so. If you had to ask, you know, our world is full of problems. And we don't have to look far to find problems in our world, in our country, and around the world. And the greatest problem the world has is sin. It boils down to that. You get rid of sin, you get rid of almost of every other problem, if not every one you could. And truly, the greatest problem, most of all problems the world has, is sin. Because with sin, you cannot stand before a holy God. And God's answer to the world's greatest problem is a Savior. God's answer is the gift of salvation. Savior. The Greek sotar, their language, it means deliverer. Delivered from the vengeance that is due us. Delivered from the judgment that is due us. Delivered from the darkness of the evil one that so entraps us. Delivered from all that the demonic one would have. The Savior, the deliverer, has come to cleanse us of sin and to give us our tomorrow, if you will, today. Good news of great joy. Christmas message is really a message of hope, and hope fulfilled brings joy. When you've hoped for something for so long and you're waiting and you're waiting and it finally comes and it's more than you anticipated, you are full of joy. I find it interesting when the angels proclaim that I have good news of great joy that will be to you, for unto you is born a Savior. And we look at that and we say, well, that's wonderful, we're full of joy, and we lose the sight of the fact that the angels were full of joy and it was God's joy they're reflecting. That God was joyous, that finally this has come, this is a day I have promised, and now it's fulfilled. It's time to bring the Savior. And that tomorrow is today. Hope is the message of Christmas, hope now and hope to come. And the birth of Christ was only the beginning. You know, the baby, if you will, was a symbol. God made flesh and dwelt among us. God did not judge man nor abandon man. He came as a man. That's true joy. That's holy joy to all believe, to all who believe. In the Christian faith, you find joy in Christ, and then that joy begins to bring you have joy within. You may have difficult times, you may be going through something challenging or fearful, but you can have that joy of Christ in your life on a daily basis. Because Christ came, born unto you a Savior, and through his obedience and coming and dying for you, you and I can be born again. Born anew, born unto God. That's a wonderful message. That's the greatest gift we will ever receive. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason for true joy. That's cause for celebration. You know, the angels praised God and rejoiced at the birth of Christ. They also rejoice, Luke 15 tells us, when someone is born again. The birth of Christ is good tidings of great joy. The birth of a new believer is good tidings of great joy. That's how God looks at it. Christmas becomes a yearly reminder of lasting holy joy and joy eternal. Not over some present, not over some circumstance, but a deep joy that can't be shaken. Joy of the world dims. Material items lose value. Joy to the world, the joy of salvation, grows for an eternity. We have so much to look forward to. We're not just excited about being born again. When we get to know him, we realize all that he has waiting for us, and we anticipate excitedly what's coming. As a Christian, the value and joy of relationship with God should grow and deepen. You gain a value and understanding in your eyes of what God has done in your life. And we know that while Jesus came once, that he's coming again. And we look excitedly. In fact, I'm ready. I'd love him to come back. He could come right now. I wouldn't even mind if we missed Christmas morning. You know, we could do without the new socks. He could just come. We see again in Luke, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Glory to God. Well deserved. He deserves glory, and he is glorious. Peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Available only through Jesus Christ. And I remind you once again that you can have peace with God by knowing Christ. That we say we can accept Christ, we can understand that he died for our sins, and then our sins are washed clean, and we stand before the Father as if we've never sinned, pure and holy and righteous because of the work of Christ, and that gives us peace with God. We're not afraid of God as a judge. We know him as our Savior and our Deliverer, and we stand before him and run and yell, "Abba, Father," this term of intimacy to know him and no longer be afraid. So we can have peace with God, and God said, peace on earth. But we can also have the peace of God. And I mentioned one of the things in the Christmas season and the busyness, it's often easy to lose our joy, or just life's challenges, we can lose our joy. And when you lost your joy, you've lost your peace of God. And you can be born again, washed in the blood, going to heaven, but not have the peace of God in your life. And if you don't have the peace of God in your life, you're missing something. You need to go back to the Savior. You need to go back to God. Find out what's missing. Where have you lost your joy? What are your eyes focusing on? And he proclaimed goodwill towards you. To God, to bring you goodwill, godly will, not to judge, but to forgive and to save, to bring you grace and mercy and love and compassion and understanding and blessings into your life. The real truth of Christmas is joy, good news, glad tidings of great joy. Joy to you, joy to the world, and joy to mankind. To know that's what it's really about. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Well said, well sung. Every heart prepare him room. This preparation of your heart and then inviting him in. And so many are not willing to prepare their heart. They harden their heart or hide their heart. And some of us, some of you as believers have had challenges or disappointments and your heart's gotten a little hardened and you've lost some of your joy. Or your heart's gotten distant and you've allowed things to come in your life that don't glorify God and you know there's a distance and you have no idea really how to get back or unwilling to give up those things that are keeping you from him. Every heart, prepare him room. Let earth receive her king. Sadly, for so many, Christmas, as I said, is just Xmas. Parties, drinking, Santa Claus, gifts, but no Christ. No room at the inn, no room in their heart. Prepare him room. God didn't come as a judge, but he is coming back. And he will judge all. That's a reality. So as we celebrate Christmas in a couple days, and the tomorrow has arrived, if you will, we once again renew the understanding of the Messiah has come. We live, as I always say, in this side of the cross. That we can understand that, we can rejoice in it, we can celebrate, we can surround ourselves with friends and family and experience that wonderful time, that wonderful peace of just being together and be refreshly understood and renewed that our message to the world is the Savior has come. We have the same proclamation that the angel did. Great joy, I've got good news for you. The Savior's come
and you can know him. That's our promise. We get to tell others. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. That angel's proclamation from that evening still stands today. The truth of Jesus as Savior still brings great joy. If you've never confessed Christ as your Lord, if you're not sure that you've ever really acknowledged him and you wonder about that, your tomorrow can be today. Prepare your heart to give him room. If you've received Christ as your Savior and you've lost your joy, he wants to restore that today. If you've gone away from him and you're not living for him and you're not completely submitted to him and you know that he's calling you to more, your tomorrow can be today. Receiving Christ is only the beginning. Once we've prepared him room in our heart, we need to let him have free reign. As he has free reign, we begin to understand and know what he wants in our life and where the joy is found. And that's only found in Christ. That's where the peace of God is found. So as we celebrate Christmas, let's purpose to keep Christ in Christmas. Let's purpose to keep him right there, always knowing he's the reason. There's a fellow by the name of Dale Bruner. He's a theologian, and he wrote this story. I'm going to read it to you. He writes about a man named David Peterson, who was a former pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Spokane, Washington. And he talks about a time he was in his room preparing a Sunday sermon in his office, and his little daughter came in and said, "Daddy, can we play?" And the pastor answered, "I'm awfully sorry, sweetheart, but I'm right in the middle of preparing this sermon. In about an hour, I can play." "Okay," she replied, "and when you're finished, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug." "Well, thank you very much," he said. His daughter went out the door, and then she did a U-turn and came back to give him a chiropractic, bone-breaking hug. In surprise, Pastor Peterson said to his little girl, "Darling, you said you're going to give me a hug after I finished." She peered at him with saucer-like eyes and answered, "Daddy, I just wanted you to know what you have to look forward to." One meaning at Christmas that God wants us to know is through the first coming, how much we have to look forward to the second coming. And that Christmas is all about joy, and we have so much to celebrate now, and so much to celebrate all that we have to look forward to. Joy abounding in him for all who know him. Why wait? Why would we not want to have joy in our life right now? Let's stand and worship our God this morning.